Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from several sources. I'm going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine. Three Generations, One Harmonious Vacation, a guide to planning a family adventure that makes everyone happy. Kids, parents, and grandparents. And this is by Rachel Walker. Katrilla Ewing knows it's time for a big vacation when she gets an online survey. Not from a travel agent or some hotel or airline rewards program. This extensive and detailed query comes from her daughter, Brandy Starr. It goes out to Ewing, 72, and as many as 30-plus others as plans get laid for their next great extended family adventure. Brandy always thinks about the different needs of everyone, says Ewing of Duluth, Georgia. What people like to do, their budgets and schedules. She makes it easy for people to say yes, bringing us all together. Star's survey comes via email or text, or in the case of technology challenged, a phone call. A few sample questions. Where would people like to go? Will they be traveling with other family members? What's their budget? Special needs? Desired dates? There's a deadline for feedback, typically 2 weeks. Recipients who fail to respond can still go on the trip, but they have forfeited the right to express opinions. So far, the surveys have resulted in two multi-generational trips. An upcoming cruise has also been planned with 19 travelers. Star of Suwanee, Georgia, views all of this as a labor of love. If you look at older generations, they tend to live closer together and naturally had traditions that were passed down, she says. But with more family living apart, some of those transitions fade, and the bonds that used to be a given between cousins, grown siblings, aren't always as strong as they could be. Traveling brings us together and lets us make memories. It reminds us of what is truly important. Multi-generational travel, with groups that encompass three or more generations, is more popular than you might realize. A recent study shows more than 40% of grandparents are likely to take such a trip within the next 3 years. But just as travel can promote family togetherness and a shared sense of adventure, it can also provoke anxiety and sometimes tension. To maximize the opportunities and avoid pitfalls, we assembled a panel of experts on this topic to guide you through this potential minefield and leave everyone in your family eager to embark on the next great vacation. The experts: Brandy Starr, a frequent multi-generational vacation planner and marketing executive. Dee Dee Moore, founder of the grandparent advice website More Than Grand. Kirsten Maxwell, founder of the popular blog Kids Are a Trip. Evita Robinson, founder of No Madness Travel Tribe, a community for travelers of color. Rob Taylor, founder of the LGBTQ family travel site Two Travel Dads. And Gaia Vinay, independent travel advisor with Fora Travel. Now, before we go on, there's several sidebar articles with this, and the first one I've encountered here is Travel Tales. Kirsten Maxwell, age 52, founder of Kids Are a Trip. We went to Lake Tahoe in California. Our group included my husband, our three kids, my sister, and her husband, and their two kids, and our parents. What was your favorite part of the trip? Every morning, we would go on walks together, and in the evening, we hung out and had dinner on the patio. We could just be together and talk about our lives. What was particularly challenging? Cleaning up. Everyone's version of cleanliness was different, and we had two 20-year-olds and older teens. My mom and dad were telling the kids to pick up after themselves. I tried to encourage everyone to be more mindful, but there were a lot of eye rolls on all sides. What's the one activity that everyone agreed on? We went rafting down the Truckee River. We divided up so the kids were in one raft and the adults had another. We were racing and splashing and chasing one another. It was a blast. What's the one meal that became emblematic of the trip? The kids found a Mexican restaurant called Las Pachitas that we all fell in love with. We went there 3 times. It was such good food. Now, back to the article. Getting started. Don't assume anything. Star. I've learned to start trips with an online survey, and I always learn something. I wouldn't have thought to ask, like when a relative mentioned she couldn't fly for medical reasons. Once the surveys are in, I download everything into a spreadsheet and figure out the destination, costs, and logistics. I have a clear vision of what people want to do, what they can afford to do, and when they can do it. Taylor, it's tempting to let the natural planner in the family run with everything, but involve others, particularly kids. Ask up front what people actually want, how much downtime, what pace they prefer, what they're excited about. Energy levels and interests change, especially as people get older. Don't assume you know what people want to do. Vinay, with every client, I have a detailed intake process that's an in-depth conversation where we discuss all the obvious questions about where they want to go and what they want to do. But then I have a few questions that are very revealing. What are the goals of the trip? What would make this vacation completely memorable? What would ruin this vacation for you? People always have a lot of answers for that one. The takeaway: a questionnaire gives everyone a voice and helps prevent squabbles or hurt feelings later. Make the trip a milestone. Robinson, early on, I'll ask, what's worth celebrating in your life right now? It doesn't have to be huge. Maybe someone just graduated or started a business. Maybe a big birthday is coming up or somebody had a baby. We don't always know what's happening in our relatives' lives, and a multi-gen trip is the perfect moment to share it. It's also a time to honor the past and remember the folks we've lost. The takeaway? Celebrating loved ones transforms a trip into something deeper than a vacation. Pick the place that fits, not just wows. Taylor, the best destination has to work for everyone's pace. You want a mix of high-energy options, like theme parks or the outdoors, balanced with calmer activities that appeal to grandparents or younger kids. For me, the Florida Keys or Orlando is a multi-generational favorite. You can do them on a shoestring or as a splurge. Spend time at a theme park or at a nature preserve. Star. With a cruise, you have different categories of rooms, so people who want to travel on a budget may do so, and the ones who want something fancier also have options. With food and drinks already included, there's no worrying about who's cooking or splitting restaurant bills. And there's plenty of flexibility. You can do an excursion together one day and go your own way the next. It's a shared trip, but with options. The takeaway? The best destination isn't the flashiest. It's the one that offers flexibility and meets everyone's needs, from toddlers all the way up to grandparents. Beds, space, and sanity. Get the right accommodations. More. Often the big rental house looks like the smartest and best choice. Dinners under one roof are great, but when you put 3 or 4 generations together, you're also signing up for less privacy and more noise. A baby crying at 5 a.m. or late-night cocktails in the living room can ripple through the whole house. Think carefully about how much togetherness your family really wants. Maxwell, be thoughtful and considerate about divvying up bedrooms. Don't stick late sleepers near the heart of the action, like the kitchen or living room, where people will be gathering. I look for rentals with multiple levels, so each family has its own floor. Built-in privacy makes a huge difference. Vinay, sometimes a hotel or resort is the smarter choice, More often than not, they're ADA accessible, and hotels solve common group travel headaches, connecting suites for families, pools and game rooms for kids, daily housekeeping, and no chores to divvy up. The takeaway? Where you stay matters as much as the destination. Choose accommodations that provide space to be both together and apart. Shared adventures, but separate cars. More. Renting a van or a bus might seem like a good idea because it can save money and feels more efficient. But if you've got a little ones in car seats, kids who need naps, or just folks with different agendas, that big van removes a lot of freedom. The takeaway? For the most flexibility, make sure you have enough sets of wheels. Then pass the baton. Let a pro work the details. Star, I want us all to still like one another when we finally are on vacation. So after I've wrangled my survey work spreadsheet and figured out where we're going and the main logistics, I hand things over to my travel specialist. At that point, I've done the hard work of shaping the trip, and she's the one who turns it into a polished plan with rooms, excursions, and all the little details. My family books directly through her, so I can focus on the fun part of planning without carrying the whole weight myself. Some questions to ask when looking for a travel agent: do they have testimonials, sample itineraries from past clients who went to that destination? How do they handle payments? Does the money ever hit the agent's account? This one is a huge red flag. Reputable agents use tech where the money is in holding and they can't touch it. Vinay, families often try to do too much. One activity a day is plenty. People need downtime to just hang out or do their own thing. A good travel specialist can help balance that plan. The takeaway? Shape the big picture, then let a travel specialist handle the bookings, payments, and itinerary details. The price of harmony. Talk budgets before you travel. More. Have the money, talks, there will be more than one, right at the start, even if it's awkward. Spell out the costs, what each person can afford, and who's paying for what. If the grandparents offer to pay, don't see it as them buying influence. It's a gift. And the real payoff is time together. Robinson, give yourself a lot of time, ideally a year, to plan so relatives on tighter budgets can save. And if the first plan feels out of reach, adjust. Pick a place where everyone who wants to be there can come, regardless of finances. The takeaway? Be upfront about money and open to adjustments, and plan early. Allow for alone time. Breaks build bonds. Taylor, if you're crammed into every meal and activity, the little quirks and differences will start to grate. But when people have space to decompress, you come back together with a lightness. The goal isn't to spend every minute as one group. It's to make the experience good enough that everyone wants to do it again. The takeaway? Taking breaks from the group isn't a sign of something wrong. It keeps the tradition alive. Now, as promised, a couple of sidebar articles here. This one is from Brandy Starr, 47. I recently took my mom, 72, my 10-year-old son, and my mom's best friend on a 7-day cruise in the Caribbean. What was your favorite part of the trip? When we were on Grand Cayman, we decided to rent a Jeep instead of doing the cruise ship excursion. Nothing specific happened, but before the trip, my mother had surgery. To have come out on the other side of that and be on our own, being silly and laughing, added up to something really meaningful. What was particularly challenging? Navigating my mom's wheelchair was more challenging than I expected. We went to a bee sanctuary, not knowing that the whole path was made of rocks, and my mom couldn't do the tour. What's the one activity that everyone agreed on? In Mexico, we went to Pueblo del Maíz and Cozumel and learned about the Maya culture. We watched a traditional Mayan dance, learned about the cacao bean and chocolate, and made tortillas. There were aspects of the tour that spoke to each of us. And finally, from Rob Taylor, 43, founder of Two Travel Dads, my husband Chris's parents flew to Florida to visit us, and then the six of us, Chris, his parents, our two kids, and I, went to Key West. We rented side-by-side condos at the Coconut Beach Resort. What was your favorite part of the trip? The beach access was incredible, but it was being out on the water with all of us together that was my favorite. We spent one day on a chartered boat. It's actually cheaper to charter a boat for a group our size than to do a commercial tour, and everyone was happy. The kids snorkeled and swam. Grandma sat in the shade on the boat and visited with everyone. Grandpa fished. Chris and I were elated to be in a beautiful place with the people we love. What was particularly challenging? My immediate family is acclimated to the Florida heat and humidity, but my in-laws were not. Seeing them crash because of the intense weather was tough. What was the one activity that everyone agreed on instantly? We all loved the boat charter. It had everything: shade, fun, sightseeing, wildlife, fishing, swimming. What's the one meal that became emblematic of the trip? Even though fried fish and key lime pie are foods you'll find in the Keys and love them, grilling out on our vacation rental patio was my favorite meal. Just being together and preparing simple, delicious food was the best. Now I want to go back to AARP, the bulletin, and an article that I started last time, and we'll have to continue next time, actually, because it's very long. Fraud 2026, Your Guide to Spotting Scams. For older Americans, fraud can feel like a pervasive and inescapable threat. At AARP, we recognize that anxiety and want to help alleviate it. This is a sidebar article with the group that I'm going to start on. It's an update. Alliance is scoring wins against criminal gangs. A year ago in April, AARP joined Amazon, Google, and Walmart to establish the National Elder Fraud Coordination Center, with the goal of bringing together resources from the private and public sectors to help law enforcement prosecute fraud rings targeting older Americans. The goal was to use the data available through private companies to find patterns and connections in major elder fraud cases and place related local scams under one investigation to target large-scale fraud operations. With the NEFCC's assistance, state and federal law enforcement agencies can more efficiently identify and dismantle destructive criminal enterprises, seize stolen assets, and return them to victims. Since its launch, the NEFCC has identified new fraud trends and patterns and sent those insights to state and federal law enforcement agencies to help them build investigations. Some examples of the center's work: the NEFCC examined 24 companies receiving funds from tech support scam victims and passed the findings along to federal law enforcement agencies and American tech companies. This helped restart a stalled elder fraud case. When a romance scam victim lost about $350,000, the NEFCC tracked money transfers, cryptocurrency transactions, addresses, and business names and phone numbers related to the scam. As a result, other victims who had lost more than $1 million combined were identified, and law enforcement was alerted. By helping link fraud investigations in three states and advising law enforcement of the connections, the NEFCC enabled the issuance of criminal indictments. The center also added new members, including Capital One, Chain Analysis, Meta, and Microsoft. Older adults often face the greatest financial losses, putting their retirement security and well-being at risk, says Kathy Stokes, Senior Director of Fraud Prevention Programs, AARP Fraud Watch Network. The NEFCC has begun to play a critical role in addressing the fraud crisis in our country. Now, let's go back to this next part of the article. AI chatbots Turbocharge scams. Imposter scams, whether they're family impersonation scams like the one that snagged Brightwell, we talked about last time, or faked calls, texts, and emails purporting to be from government agencies, businesses, employers with job openings, and package delivery services, are on the rise in the era of AI-enabled fraud. Half of all scams reported to AARP's Fraud Watch Network Helpline in 2025 were imposter schemes, the Microsoft report found. Most, 20,400, were business and government scams, and just 700 were family impersonation scams. Most imposters pose as businesses or officials, not people you know, the report notes. It's a lucrative swindle. Imposter scams involving fake unpaid bills and undelivered packages cost consumers $785 million in 2024, according to the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center. It's getting harder to detect these fakes. We know criminals are using AI to make emails and texts sound better, says Amy Nofsinger, Senior Director of Fraud Victim Support for the AARP Fraud Watch Network. The old giveaways have changed, said Hudson. Bad grammar, poor spelling, or chunky websites are less likely with AI. AI imposter scams take things to a new level with computer-generated chatbots that act and sound like human beings. After a layoff in 2023, Ron O'Brien, 65, a corporate communications executive from Boston's North Shore, went back to school to learn more about AI in the workplace. In May 2025, he got an unsolicited email about a $300,000 a year work-at-home job with the Chicago Medical Device Company. O'Brien applied and entered an elaborate AI scam. The company was real, he says. It turns out the job was not. Scammers set up a text interview via WhatsApp. I realized I was chatting with a chatbot, O'Brien says. It was actually processing information I was providing and commenting on it, saying things like, "That's interesting, Ron. Tell me more." The criminals followed up with a 10-page job description, which O'Brien thinks was also created with AI tools. Then came a 30-minute phone interview. The voice they generated matched the ethnicity of a real company employee, he says. I realized it was a bot. It was incredibly responsive. I kept looking for mistakes, but there were none. When the scammers quickly set up a video chat and offered him the job, O'Brien got suspicious. Something was fishy, he said. Things like this don't happen in 3 days. During the call, he texted his wife that it looked like a scam, but mistakenly sent the message to the scammers. They hung up. O'Brien suspects he would have had sensitive banking and other financial information stolen if he had continued. AI chatbots, the same type that pop up offering help on legit shopping and information websites, are yet another weapon in the hands of scammers. Some are paired with cloned voices or faked images for convincing phone calls and video calls. By manipulating and creating audio and visual content with unprecedented realism, scammers seek to deceive unsuspecting victims into divulging sensitive information or authorizing fraudulent transactions, the FBI warned in a 2024 note. AI threats are everywhere. In October 2025, the Tech Transparency Project found that scam advertisers had paid Meta $49 million to run deep fake videos of politicians and government appointees, including President Donald Trump, Elon Musk, New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, and Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, hawking scams, including fake government stimulus checks and benefit cards on Facebook and Instagram. The deep fakes also promoted questionable investments, free merchandise that signed people up for expensive hidden subscriptions, and fake Medicare payments. Kate A. Paul, director of the Tech Transparency Project, says social media is awash with deep fake scams, and the problem persists. While Meta rakes in advertising profits, it's letting deep fake scams target seniors and their bank accounts, she said. Since the report, she adds, not only have we seen new advertisers from the same scam networks, but also new pages running identical ads. One-third of the entire planet, 3 billion people, are on Facebook. No platform has the same kind of reach. Paul notes that deepfake use several tricks that pull consumers in. If you pause too long or click on one, the platform sends you more and more, she says. Some tell you with a sense of urgency to call. They know older Americans will be wary of typing in their personal information online, but may have more trust on the phone. In November, two U.S. senators asked the federal government to look into scams on Facebook and Instagram. Meta countered by saying it has reduced scams significantly, according to a Reuters News Service story. Amron, the lipedema surgeon, says it took months to get the deepfake video taken down despite posting warnings on social media and appearing on the Today Show. These scams don't just take money, he said. They derail patients from the care they need. Approach any online medical advertisement with caution. Deepfake videos can look completely real, even to trained professionals. The author of this section, Sari Harar, is an award-winning journalist who writes frequently on fraud and health for AARP. Now, with the minute or so we have left, let's look at some more ways to save money. This is still under the heading of insurance. Switch coverage if you drive infrequently. Niche carriers such as Root or Metro Mile cater to low-mile drivers. Your rate depends on how much and how safely you drive. If you get behind the wheel only once a week to go to the store or doctor, you can save more than $1,000 a year compared with traditional car insurance. Inventory your home. You'll be hard-pressed to remember all of your possessions if a fire, flood, or hurricane devastates your house. You'll want a list of them to get a fast, accurate payout from your insurer. Walk around your house and take a video, narrating the belongings in all of your rooms, including closets, cupboards, and drawers. Upload it to your computer and the cloud, and then hope you will never need it. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. I do hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.